Hello, you've reached St. Sebastian's Church. We're sorry our office is currently closed at the moment, but please leave us a message and we will get back to you at our earliest convenience. Thank you and have a blessed day.
Hi, this is Tiffany Allen. I'm trying to reach Father Tom. Hi, Father Tom, you remember me? It's Tiffany from Sunday school class. Yeah, listen, I know when I was 11 I told you to go fuck yourself or whatever, but I've been having second thoughts about religion since I gave birth to the son of the devil, and I was wondering if I could possibly bother you to baptize my son. He's really a horrible, horrible demon spawn, and something has to be done before he brings about the end of days. So, like, if you could call me back, my number is 6238...
Welcome to Ragnarok, your home of the Nerdpocalypse.
Everybody, welcome to Ragnarok!
Yeah!
My name's Meyer.
Oh, I'm not used to staying in this position. I'm Eric.
I'm next to Eric. And I'm Ryan.
And I'm Alex.
And in this podcast, in this episode of Ragnarok, we'll be discussing Geek Century Part 4, finishing that shit
it's
off.
It's the epic conclusion.
Epic.
The moment you've all been waiting for.
Final entry.
Thunder 6 weeks effects. Have been leading to this moment. Exactly. What will they discuss? What will be considered Geek Century Part 4?
We're also returning to the Anti-Zone.
Yeah.
That is the right title of this episode.
Yes, Return to the Anti-Zone. It's like the regular zone, but the opposite of that.
I thought it was the opposite of the uncle zone.
Oh, Ryan, go to the pun chamber.
I don't remember the first time we got to the anti-zone. It seems, oddly different.
We were remembering it, but then we lost our memory because it was the anti-memory, so we don't have a memory of that. And yeah.
All right, Eric, go to the stupid comment chamber.
I'm on my way.
Guys, it's cold down here in the pun chamber.
Well, maybe that'll teach you your lesson about horrible, horrible puns.
Yeah, you better chill out down there. Oh, I'm going to come join you.
I hope that's it, Ryan. There's barely enough room for one person in the pun chamber.
Wait, what if it's a pun and a stupid comment?
Well, that's why there's a bridge connecting the two.
Okay, just sit on the bridge. All right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Exactly equidistant.
Yes. If you're 1 centimeter off, you die.
It's like a Zoroastrian bridge across eternity.
But anyway, let's start this shit off.
A shit off?
Oh no, Alex wins!
Finally, an application of my tremendous talent.
I don't know, I've been eating a lot of chili today.
Ryan, I'm made of chili.
Oh god, he's right.
Ow! How did I never notice this?
I don't know. I didn't really go to any great lengths to hide it. Just so you all know, we decided Geek Century Part 4 was pretty much 1976 to the present.
We cheated.
To well, right now.
Well, this very moment!
In this moment.
And that one.
In this one.
And this one.
They kind of figure that, though, I think. I
mean, wait, do we count that last moment?
Yeah, that one and this one.
Oh, damn. This but is all encompassing.
They could have thought that maybe it stopped at 2000.
But they're not morons like Ed is.
Oh, yeah, speaking of that, he's not here because he's a moron.
Yep. He doesn't get a clever reason this time.
No.
He's getting his brain checked for moronism. It's possible.
They're going to find it.
I'm sorry. Maybe not.
I'm
sorry, Mr. Kress, but you have a moron in your head.
What?
Again, anyway.
We've gotten moderately off topic.
Hey, did you all know that Meyer has a small penis?
Only me and my mirror know.
What are we doing today again?
Oh, yeah. So, Star Wars.
Yeah, that was your topic.
Star Wars. See, long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I don't. What? Can you explain?
It's a Lord of the Rings reference.
Oh.
You should have been here last...
I'm sorry, I was whichever of those reasons you said.
There were a few.
Tribbles.
Tribbles, yeah. Definitely tribbles.
Star Trek, then.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so in 1977, Star Wars was released into theaters, and it was a good time to roll. Except for me, because I wasn't born yet to watch it.
Sucker.
But, so that was, and actually, Star Wars was the title. That was... That it wasn't A New Hope. It was because there wasn't any other movies made yet.
There wasn't an Old Hope.
And, you know, when the opening crawl appeared on the screen, it didn't say Episode 4. It was added later when at the re-release, when in 82, I think it was, or something. But, when Empire Strikes Back, that's when it first said Episode 5. So, like, oh, I guess New Hope was Episode 4.
It must have been so confusing for the people. They're like, oh, man, I just saw Star Wars before. Oh, the next episode. Episode 5.
Did we miss something?
It's like Final Fantasy before Final Fantasy.
It was supposed to be sort of like a Saturday serial, and you're coming in the middle of it. So it started at Episode 4.
Oh, they actually advertised it that way?
Well, I don't know if they advertised it that
That's
way.
That's why I was saying it would be confusing.
I think that was the whole thing Lucas was going for, though. Yeah. Lucas was going for.
But New Hope is my personal favorite of the franchise.
I've always been partial to Attack of the Clones.
Well, I can't even accept that as a joke comment.
You're right, I'm sorry.
Alex has also been partial to being kicked in the head repeatedly.
I'll get into the bad choice of favorite Star Wars film.
His favorite Indiana Jones movie was The Crystal Skull.
The what?
I don't know, I'm just blabbering.
Empire was the best movie. New Hope was my favorite,
though. Okay.
See, at the time it came out, science fiction was unpopular. However, George Lucas already shown how talented he was from his two previous films he's made, THX-1138 and American Graffiti. Lucas even stated that when 20th Century Fox was deciding, you know, to develop the movie or not, you know, they were investing in him and not in the movie itself. And, you know, it turned out to be a smart investment because Star Wars was an instant success.
Like that.
Within 3 weeks of the film's release, 20th Century Fox, their stock price doubled to a record high. And it also became an international success, which I think has to do with that. The whole universe is kind of, like, unified, and there wasn't any, like, cultural differences.
And Lucas has been riding that wave ever since.
Yeah. So, after New Hope, there was 5 other movies that, if you don't know those 6 Star Wars movies, don't listen to this.
5 of varying quality.
Stop listening to this right now, watch all 6 movies, and then proceed with listening.
Oh, and if you've never seen Star Wars before, the episodes 1 through 3 are really the best.
Yeah, you gotta start with those and then never watch the rest.
Yeah.
So altogether, the 6 movies made 4,327,000,000 smackaroos.
That's
Meyer talk for dollars, baby.
Oh.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, all right. I thought you were talking like the cereal, like Smacks.
Which that also includes all the re-releases they have done.
Wow, that one went over real well.
No one eats Smacks anymore, Eric. Stop making outdated cultural references.
That was a frog one, right?
Yes, it was.
The Smacks frog.
That was almost as bad as the election of 2000 joke that Ed made last show.
With the hanging Chad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Moronism. Anyway,
so besides the all 6 movies, there were also 4 full-length pieces of work that came out. There were 3 made-for-TV movies, and there was an animated feature that was in theaters. There was the Star Wars Holiday Special.
The best one.
Bad.
Wow, we have different opinions on that.
Yep.
There was the Caravan of Courage and Ewok Adventure.
The Caravan of Courage.
And also there was Ewok's Battle for Endor, which starred Wilford Brimley.
Oh.
Mm. Did he have the diabetes?
Much might have. It was 80s.
Probably.
And then there was the Star Wars. Then there was the Star Wars Clone Wars, which served as the introduction of the TV show of the same name that's still going on now. But this is very, very good. I'm a big fan of it. And speaking of TV shows, besides the Clone Wars, you know, there was 3 other shows before that. There was Star Wars Droids, which was a cartoon. Star Wars Ewoks was also a cartoon. And then Clone Wars is a cartoon.
Ewoks were really big.
Other than Clone Wars, there was Clone Wars?
There was another Clone Wars, yeah. There was Clone Wars and then another Clone Wars.
They cloned the Clone Wars.
See, the first Clone Wars.
Alright, Ryan,
was
you can go in the good joke chamber.
First Star Wars was called just Star Wars Clone Wars, and then this one is Star Wars The Clone Wars.
Oh, well, that's a very important difference that everyone will recognize.
You know, you're just an idiot if you don't know that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Star Wars, you know, has also been the basis of over 100 books and comic books, which all have been officially licensed and authorized by Lucasfilm. You know, they're anything from, you know, 1,000 years before Phantom Menace to, like, 7 generations after Return of the Jedi. It's pretty expansive. And then there was games. You know, there's over 120 video games bearing the name of Star Wars. And, you know, there's three...
And there was, like, 5 good ones.
Possibly. There's 3 tabletop role-playing games. There's plenty of board games and card games and miniatures and any other games you can think of. Plus a ton of toys and other various merchandise.
If a kind of merchandise exists, Star Wars has probably made something in that kind of merchandise.
There's condoms?
Probably. They probably go zoom when you take them out of the package. I'm going to the bad joke chamber.
Yeah, condoms wouldn't go zoom.
Well, these ones, they're Star Wars.
They would just look like Vader's helmet.
That would be rather intimidating.
Yeah.
That would be birth control.
Star Wars comfort condoms to make sure you're not the one that shoots first.
I say...
Uh-huh. Oh, I don't even know what chamber you're going in for that one.
Just kill me.
So yeah,
they take you out back and shoot you for that one.
So all that shit, I said all that so show how huge Star Wars has become. It is ridiculously big. Like,
that's what she said.
Boom! What? You went there.
Oh yeah.
So I talked last time about Lord of the Rings. That was my topic. And I said, how J.R.R. Tolkien, created a whole world. Well, with Lucas, and help from a lot of people, they made an entire universe. You know, Lucas was a creator, but there was a whole team of people who have just expanded upon this universe, which is why there's a thing called the Expanded Universe.
What a crazy name for it.
I know. And this universe has inspired countless of people, like our friend Joe the Star Wars.
Countless people.
I like countless of people.
I didn't say that.
Let's go with that.
See, now they know I have a typo, and I just read it, though.
No, because you did say countless of people.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I did not.
I did not hit her.
I did not.
Oh, God, who let Tommy Wiseau into the podcast?
Oh, hi, Ragnarok.
No.
Oh, hi, Bullets.
Wow, he acted as he was getting shot as well as he acted in the movie.
I like how...
Okay, bye.
I like how Ryan mimed the gunshot, though no one will know.
We know.
We know.
I'm a method actor, goddamn.
So, it inspired countless people, like our friend Joe, the Star Wars artist.
Friend of the show.
Friend and lover.
Oh.
An interviewee.
And even... myself. I'm a big, I was very inspired by Star Wars from a young age of 5.
Meyer has been trying to force choke someone since then.
No, force choke myself while I'm,
No, I thought you'd like a lightsaber up the ass.
I like both.
He's a man of many interests.
That is your thing.
Why can't I do a little both?
I forgot about the autoerotic asphyxiation.
Mm. Why can't I do a little both?
Just be careful. You want to be alive when Revenge of the Gungans comes out.
Nope.
Oh, no, Shadow of the Gungans.
So, yeah.
And holographic 4D.
As much,
what does that even mean?
As much as I don't really care for George Lucas anymore, I respect what he has done. I mean, because, he has not only changed science fiction, he also changed film in general. You know, when he was making Star Wars, he created two companies. While in the process, he was making Star Wars... He created two companies. He made he has Lucas film, which he made in the early 70s. But when he was making A New Hope, he made Industrial Light and Magic, which is a visual effects company. It's responsible for now over 200 films. The Jurassic Park, it did the Back to the Future trilogy, it did the Harry Potter films, it did the Indiana Jones franchise. And then the other company is THX, which he made, I think, after around Return of the Jedi he made, which, again, is now, like, the sound, just the sound thing now.
Mm.
And, it's improved the sound quality of systems, like, everywhere. Every movie now uses THX, basically. It's, like, the go-to digital sound.
Yeah. If I can cop some Tiny Toons,
The audience is now deaf.
Yep.
So, now I guess now as I just now I just
talking about my dated reference with the Smacks.
But people like Tiny Toons.
It's true. I like Smacks.
Yeah, but people don't like you.
It's true. Also,
continue, Maya.
So you know, as for the future of Star Wars, well, there's two TV shows in the works. There's an anime show and a live action show.
VV Clone Wars.
What's it called? I think it's just like an untitled animated show.
It's just some Clone Wars.
And which I read that the live action show has like over like 60 scripts already done.
Wow.
They're just trying to find a viable way to, you know, for money wise, actually be able to make this TV show.
Yeah, that's kind of the linchpin for that one. Yeah. We have 60 great scripts. We have no money and no way to film them, but we got some great scripts.
I think they want to find out how to make a TV show for $6 million per episode or something like that.
More likely it'll be Star Wars Untitled Finger Puppet Project.
Yeah. You know, Fantasy Flight, which is a gaming company that we all love here.
We love to lose.
Love in an abusive relationship, sort of way.
They own the rights to Star Wars now. Well, to some Star Wars properties. So they're coming out this year with a mini game, for X-Wings, like a dog fighting game, and a card game, which is hopefully coming out this year, probably. And there's also a rumor that they're going to be announcing a role-playing game at some point, which I like role-playing games, so.
Yeah,
we all do.
I don't.
And then there's...
Thanks, Droopy Dog.
You're welcome.
Then there's Lucasfilm. They're re-releasing all the 6 movies in 3D.
That's the best part of everything.
I'll have more to say about that later.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not much more, though.
And then, you know, there's plenty of video games and books and comics that come out every year. Every year there's something Star Wars. Final thoughts of Star Wars, you know, it's like Lord of the Rings. It's going to be around forever. It's timeless, and it's going to continue to entertain and inspire. I mean, I'm sure when I find an unlucky girl to make love with and have children with, my children will be watching Star Wars, because I'll be forcing them to, and they'll like it, or I'll punch them.
Did that make anyone else really uncomfortable?
Yeah, just a little bit.
I'm not going to punch anybody but my children if they don't watch Star Wars.
No, I was really talking about the very first part. Finding an unlucky girl to make love with. That is really uncomfortable.
Do you see my penis? It's barbed.
No, I don't.
It's a barbed penis. It'll shred a girl's vagina in two.
Alright, moving on.
This has been a wonderful conversation.
Thank you for those charming insights, Meyer.
Eric, why don't you tell us about barbed... I mean, not barbed penises.
Well, I don't talk
about penises at all.
I've never talked about anything but.
I've never seen his, so I can't, like, verify if it's barbed or not. So should I talk anyway?
Yes, about penises.
Discuss my barbed penis, please.
All right. Instead of Meyer's barbed penis, I'm going to talk about Shigeru Miyamoto.
That guy!
He's a good guy.
Is that the guy who did Studio Ghibli shit?
Sure. On the contrary, Shigeru Miyamoto was born on November 16th, 1952, in Kyoto, Japan. He's a Japanese video game designer and producer.
Wait a minute. He was born in Japan and he's Japanese?
Yeah, it's a really rare combination.
Yeah, that is kind of creepy.
And he was primarily known for his work at video game company Nintendo. Nintendo, which had its start as a collectible card company that tried other small niche businesses such as a cab company and a love hotel, interestingly enough, they developed into a video game company and became wildly successful, largely thanks to Miyamoto's creative mind.
Imagine being the people that fucked with the Nintendo love hotel.
I mean, we went.
And there was this weird Italian plumber standing in the corner watching us the entire time.
You just finish off and you had to put your initials on the wall.
Is the love hot tub a war pipe?
Yeah. I think Nintendo should get back into the love hotel business. They would probably be a lot more successful now.
It just says press A for romance on the wall.
You just keep going in and they just keep telling you your girl's in another room.
That's the biggest cock tease ever.
Continue.
I'm betting 1,000 this game.
No, I'm batting 1,000. I got my go-to's penis. What the fuck is that about?
This is going to be a good episode.
Yeah.
We have lots of witty banter.
Yes.
I blame Ed.
Yep.
All right.
Continue.
Mormonism.
Be careful, because it kind of sounds like you're saying Mormonism.
No.
Are you?
Ed doesn't have Mormonism. Moronism.
All right. When a non-gamer refers to video games, they'll often call it Nintendo. It has that brand thing, just like Band-Aids and like Q-tips and such.
And Kleenex.
And Kleenex.
Fun fact, Q-tips invented by Sir Quentin Tips.
Oh.
What about Trojans?
Invented also by Sir Quentin Tips.
And a fair portion of the gaming franchises that people are most familiar with are ones that Miyamoto's created. There's Brain Children. Like, I'll just list off some of his most...
Brain
I'm sorry, I just got this image in my head of babies crawling out Shigeru Miyamoto's ear.
That's a good visual.
That's not a good pregnancy, though.
No, he's not Zeus.
Go and rescue the princess.
Well, some of these hideous things that crawled out of his head include Mario, Donkey Kong, Legend of Zelda, Star Fox, F-Zero, and Pikmin. In other words, some of his most famous creations are basically everything that a lot of us grew up with video game-wise.
Like Pikmin.
Pikmin. Yeah, totally.
Everyone remembers growing up with Pikmin.
I think they came out like, what, GameCube?
I know. That was the joke.
That's a bad joke. Get to the corner.
No, you just didn't get it.
Bad joke. Bad joke.
You don't get to assign people to pits, Meyer.
Yes, I can.
That's it. Into the uncomprehension pit with you.
Were there pits now?
You ever called?
They've always been pits.
I want to see your license to do that.
It's in my car.
All right, well, when you show me, I'll do it.
You should get cemented into that pit, just like Miyamoto's franchises cemented the Nintendo Entertainment System as a successful and popular gaming platform.
All right, we really need to stop with these heavy-handed segues.
What are you talking about?
Go to the heavy-handed segue chamber.
I just say, it really does say something for the popularity and the longevity of a franchise when we're not only still getting new additions to them, it's practically 30 years later now. For Mario, for
years.
Wow, that's even longer. But I mean, like, not only are we getting them now, but they still manage to defy logic and remain fresh and new for the most part. Like Mario Galaxy 2, it's so many years after the first Mario game, and we're still getting these new and exciting games from the franchise.
For further reference, see episode 2, our discussion of franchise milking.
Oh, there we go.
So we got Joe, we got that, we got this one.
We mentioned the holiday special.
Yeah. We're referring people to all our old episodes.
Wait, I have to sneeze. Nope.
Well, that's a good part. We should leave that in.
Yeah, I think I'm going to. Anyway, all right, continue.
And, you know, not only are we getting new games from those franchises themselves that are new and interesting, but a lot of the franchises are influencing a lot of our current games, too.
Like what?
Well, for example, Mario is probably the best-known platformer franchise of all time, whether it's the 2D games or the 3D games. The original Super Mario Bros., it was packaged with a lot of NES models, and that made it one of the first games that a lot of people who got a Nintendo system played. So, you know, that was my first game for that reason.
What about Rob the Robot?
Same here.
Duck Hunt?
Yeah, I mean...
Mario, I did have the combo with Duck
Mario
Hunt, yeah.
Duck Hunt.
What was the Rob the Robot game?
There was a couple. There's Gyromite.
Yeah, Gyromite's what I'm thinking.
I think there was one or two others, but I can't remember what they were.
Yeah, I did not have an NES.
I remember my cousins had this cartridge that was 190 games in one.
I had that too.
And one of the games was Fancy Brothers.
Yes, that was awesome.
And it was just Mario Brothers with the graphics fucked up.
You'd go ahead and it'd give you the graphics for the wrong part of the stage. Like, mm-hmm. You could be walking across the pit because you'll be seeing the pit that's further up. It was really cool.
I had a Sega Master System.
I'm sorry. Eric, continue.
Yeah, so, like, just the simple yet often challenging gameplay of Super Mario Bros., it was just endearing and addictive, in my opinion. Did I say addictive?
Yes.
Vindictive. Okay.
Sorry. It was vindictive.
I wasn't listening to me talk, and I wasn't sure.
Mario's back, and he's pissed.
You know, and that game, it started a lot of video game tropes that continue to be seen to this day. Otherwise, they wouldn't be tropes, I guess. Like, who here hasn't played a game, besides Mario, in which the main male character is tasked with traveling the world to rescue his love, who's often a princess?
Zelda.
What?
Zelda has a... Link has a go-around in the world and save the princess.
Right.
Yep. Well, I mean, they did come out about the same time, but...
Okay.
This has been some awkward silence.
I think you can actually hear the clock ticking in the background.
How many games have made you travel through 8 worlds, often with 4 sub-levels? Welcome to Mario's influence. That's the kind of thing that we saw beginning with that game, and they just continue on from there. There's even some games that they just blatantly parody exact scenarios from Mario Brothers. Like, Braid. Well, I bring up Braid a lot, because I really like that game. But
if you like it so much, why don't you marry it?
He tried, but it was in another castle.
I was going to say that I was going to invite you to the wedding, but I guess we're going with that joke.
Gotta be quick on the draw.
All right.
Speaking of marrying video games, there's actually a guy who married a dating sim.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, God. His DS dating sim, right?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't surprise me, honestly.
Was there tentacles involved?
I don't know.
It is Japan, so probably.
But he fell in love with a fake person.
Good for him. There's love to be found everywhere.
It was love. You can't argue with
it. You know what?
So did Hilo.
He failed the Turing test.
Ryan, so did Hilo.
Yes, Hilo did fall in love with an artificial person.
So did Kaylee.
Yeah, but no one liked her.
I'm lost.
But they were able to have
no,
babies.
No, Battlestar.
Oh.
I should put it this way. Sharon wasn't run on a Nintendo DS.
Oh, you know that for certain?
Did you watch Caprica?
Mostly.
Anyone who's played Braid, I'm right on these segues, can clearly see Mario's influence in there. And they go as far as to copy exact things from the game. Just like a lot of you're jumping on these Goomba-ish creatures, the jump bounces you higher and such. You're platforming a lot, and they go straight with exactly word for word with the famous that we've already said, sorry, but the princess is in another castle line. The Zelda games are iconic, too, and again, both their 2D and their 3D versions have been very influential on current video games. Like, the first 3D iteration, Ocarina of Time, it's long been cited as one of the greatest video games ever made. And it could be argued that many of the other games that are done in a similar style, you know, third-person 3D, solving puzzles and fighting enemies off with swords, bows, and the like, take a fair amount of inspiration from the game. It's not to discount the influence of the 2D games, though, because the first Legend of Zelda has its own squadron of games that lovingly copy its style, such as the PS3 game 3D Dot Game Heroes, which is basically a newer, prettier Legend of Zelda in which you can customize the looks of various parts of the game. And the dungeon setups in what we talked about in the indie games that one time, The Binding of Isaac, they're so similar to Legend of Zelda's top-down style, you'd swear it was intentional, probably because it was.
Mm. Was it?
I like how we're tying all the old episodes in with this one.
We're good with that.
Yeah.
Just as sort of a closing thought on Miyamoto, I think one of my favorite things about him is that I've read that a lot of his ideas for games were based on his own life. Like, apparently, when he was a kid, his parents used to just let him wander around the neighborhood, and that's where he got the idea for, you know, exploring the world of Zelda. And just sort of, you know, you start off on one of the map tiles, and you just get to wander wherever the hell you feel like.
Mm. And he used to run around and jump up and punch bricks.
Mm-hmm. And he was also a plumber who grew to twice his height when he ate a mushroom.
He did a lot of shrooms.
Yeah, he did a lot of shrooms.
And speaking of scary hallucinogenic experiences, I thought I'd take this opportunity to discuss the work of Stephen King.
Why don't you take this opportunity to discuss the work of Stephen King?
I will.
You know, I'm kind of busy. I gotta go.
Sit right there.
Okay.
Anyway, for nearly 4 decades, the name Stephen King has been synonymous with popular horror. King is a true expert of his genre. His stories reflect nearly a century's worth of influences, from Shirley Jackson to H.P. Lovecraft, from EC Comics to the paranoid sci-fi of the 50s and 60s. His work is a distillation of classic horror tropes that he uses to explore themes of alienation, isolation, violence, temptation, paranoia, and the darker side of human nature in general.
His characters are often intelligent but flawed, struggling against forces beyond their comprehension, both in the external world and within themselves. And I would have to say that Stephen King is very adept at portraying the monsters that lurk in the dark, especially those that wear human faces.
Those last two sentences sounded like you were describing Alan Wake, which is an awesome video game.
And also kind of a ripoff of a lot of Stephen King's stuff. Or not. I wouldn't say ripoff. They definitely reference his work quite a bit.
Oh, and Alan Wake?
Yeah.
Oh, no, definitely. But it's supposed to be.
I like Alan Wake. Me.
I do. It was my favorite game of 2010.
And that's what I was saying.
Game of the year for me.
That's why I was doing your impersonation.
It was spot on.
Thank you.
I thought I was having a discussion with myself. That's why.
Speaking of things that Stephen King's work has inspired in some way, his written fiction has spawned some of the best as well as some of the worst screen adaptations in recent memory. He's had talented filmmakers like Stanley Kubrick, Brian De Palma, Toby Hooper, David Cronenberg, John Carpenter, George Romero, and Frank Darabont make some very successful movies based on his work. However, some of his other adaptations have suffered heavily in the translation, especially when the adaptation in question is a TV movie.
Yeah.
Chances are, if you're sitting down to watch a Stephen King TV movie, it's going to be 9.5 hours long and terrible.
My mom likes most of them, though. She likes what, Storm of the Century or something like that.
Yeah, they have their charms, but I don't know. They just kind of drag. I would have to say King is partially responsible for this degradation in quality because he's not nearly as skilled of a screenwriter as he is a novelist. Many of his adaptations of his own work suck because he had a hand in writing the teleplay. So chances...
Ironic.
Yeah. Chances are, if you're sitting down to an adaptation of a Stephen King novel as a TV movie and it says teleplay by Stephen King... change the channel.
Run away!
I tend to prefer King's earlier work because it's better than the drug-addled silliness of his middle career, and it lacks the pretenses towards serious literary achievement that have plagued his more recent work. Some of my favorites are Carrie, The Shining, The Stand, and The Dead Zone. But I should also mention the Dark Tower novels, all seven of them. Desperation, Misery, Bag of Bones, and The Eyes of the Dragon.
Eyes of a Dragon.
Yeah, that was a really good novel about a guy who escaped from a medieval prison by stealing threads from napkins and weaving them into a rope.
Oh.
Huh.
It took him a lot of years.
Yeah. I would imagine.
I should also mention his short fiction and his novellas. My favorites, I think my favorite novella that he ever wrote is The Langoliers. But The Body is also quite good. Those of you who have seen the movie Stand By Me, that's what The Body was. It was based on The Body, rather. Rita Hayworth in Shawshank Redemption, and also all of the stories collected in Night Shift were pretty kick-ass stories. As far as how else has Stephen King influenced horror?
How else has Stephen King influenced horror?
Well, his influence on horror is pervasive, but kind of difficult to pin down precisely. Because his work is very popular, I'm sure there are very few people who are working in horror today. I combine the words horror and genre into hanra.
Hanra.
Very few people working in the horror genre today.
Say the word hanra.
Hanra.
Very few people working in the hanra.
In the hanra.
That sounds like some sort of Spanish province. Goodbye, my love. I am going to work in the hanra.
¿Dónde estás? Estoy en hanra.
Goodbye.
Anyhow, I'm sure there are very few people working in the horror genre today, be they filmmakers, comic book writers, or novelists, who haven't at least seen or read some of King's work. As you said, a lot of Alan Wake harkens back to that. His treatise on horror and modern popular culture, Danse Macabre, is one of the most often cited works in reference to the hows and whys of horror fiction craft. His trifold, his three-level description of the scare, the gross-out, horrifying and terrifying the readers, I've heard that discussed a lot. He's also collaborated with a number of his contemporaries on films or novels. He co-wrote a novel with Peter Straub. He worked with George A. Romero on Creepshow.
Did he work with Dean Koontz? Kingsy and Koontzy.
I'm not sure if he ever
Kings
worked
and Koontz, Private Eyes.
Actually, no, he co-wrote two novels with Peter Straub. I'm sorry, because there was The Talisman, and then there was the other sequel to The Talisman that I didn't read.
Now I really want to know what King and Koontz is.
King and Koontz.
Sounds like a law firm, or maybe a brand of tea.
It does.
King and Koontz, English like, breakfast.
Like Wolfram and Hart and Angel.
Oh, Wolfram and Hart.
So even his children have, to a certain extent, followed in their father's footsteps. King's son, Joe Hill, is the writer of the popular comic series Lock and Key.
Which may or may not become a TV show.
I hope it does. I saw the pilot of that at Comic-Con. I didn't mention this in our Comic-Con podcast, episode 11. Listen to
it. We are good.
Yeah, we're good at calling back those old episodes. But yeah, I saw the pilot for Lock and Key, the TV adaptation, and it looked amazing. I haven't had a chance to pick up any of the graphic novels or comic books, or whatever, whether you prefer to be pretentious or not.
Well, there is a slight difference, but you're probably thinking of the trades.
Yeah. I'm not a comic book reader, so I have no idea what I'm talking about.
I wanted to see the show at Comic-Con, but I was on a line.
I barely made it into that room. It was jam-packed. We were at the back of the theater, and I could barely see what was on the screen, but it was amazing. It was really good.
I think I was with Eric, and we're outside on a huge line trying to get in.
Which one were we on again?
We're outside the building. We haven't gotten in yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We just had to get a lanyard, which...
You guys got stuck on that line to hell, didn't you?
Yeah, that was fun.
I got on, there was plenty of lines to hell at Comic-Con. Thanks for reminding me.
Anyway.
I think Comic-Con was just one big line, to be honest.
Well, speaking of lines to hell, I decided to talk about Dungeons & Dragons. Mm,
that's a straight line
to
hell.
That's how you do a segue.
Wow.
What was wrong with my cementing segue?
Alex, that's it. Go to the gold-plated segue chamber.
I am already there.
You should take a segue to the segue chamber. I'm going to go back into that pun chamber.
Hang on, Alex.
We have a lot of chambers down here.
We do.
It's very chamberlicious.
The gold-plated Segway chamber has a fellatio machine in it.
Oh. Just like there's a lot of chambers in the dungeons that people make for Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
Nice.
Go for it, sir.
All right. Dungeons & Dragons is as synonymous with geek culture as Star Wars is, or Star Trek, or any of the other things that we've talked about. It was created in 1974 by Gary Gygax and Dave Arneson. Now, it was based off of war games that were semi-popular in the years before D&D came out, and which have started to make a resurgence now. Think of, like, HeroClix or, what was the other one?
HeroScape,
yeah. We had, like, the miniatures, and they had distances and damages mm-hmm. that they would do and things like that.
I miss HeroScape.
It was sort of based off that idea, but Gygax and Arneson sort of flipped it on its head and changed it so that instead of players controlling an entire army, they were controlling a specific character. Now, they decided to give it a fantasy setting based off some of the medieval war games that people would play. Since its inception, D&D has gone through 10 different revisions and versions. And as we have mentioned, D&D 5.0 is currently under development, even though the 4th edition was only released in 2008.
You mentioned 5.0 is coming out?
I thought we did.
Yeah, last episode.
Yeah.
We talked about it.
Maybe. Yeah.
Did we? I thought we did.
Or we're maybe. Going to be talking about it later.
Yeah, we have a little bit to say about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think I really need to explain what D&D is or how it works, because if you don't know, you're probably listening to the wrong podcast. I've never been a huge fan of the game myself, because I tend to prefer more story-based RPGs, but its influence is undeniable. Without D&D, I probably wouldn't have any other RPGs to prefer. And if you've ever mentioned XP or thought about hot elven maidens, you can thank Dungeons & Dragons. I mean, this game, along with Lord of the Rings, helped popularize the fantasy genre.
I'm often thinking of hot elven maidens.
And there's...
People, there might be some listeners who want to prefer hot elven men.
Oh, that's true. If you prefer handsome elven men, that's true. You can also thank Dungeons & Dragons for that. There's probably quite a few fantasy novels that have been based upon someone's D&D game.
Sorry, I kicked the table.
It wasn't really noticeable until you just pointed it out.
Well, now I'm...
Go to the dungeon.
This is an immersive experience.
Go to the table kicking chamber, Eric. Yeah, so there's probably some fantasy novels that are based on D&D campaigns, too. Now, through its 38-year history, Dungeons & Dragons has spawned novels, comics, movies, television shows, and video games. It's probably even inspired even more things than those that are directly based off of it that don't carry the Dungeons & Dragons name.
What about the movie Dungeons & Dragons with the Wayne's brother?
We don't like to talk about that.
No, that had nothing to do with Dungeons & Dragons.
But it was a title. It was Dungeons & Dragons the movie.
It was a coincidence. That was a smokescreen.
Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't very good.
No. the Final Fantasy video games, the very first one, was very heavily influenced by Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh.
It was sort of like playing Dungeons & Dragons on the Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also been it's influenced episodes of Futurama and the TV show Community, of The Simpsons, and more. There's lots of songs that, and things that are both mainstream and underground. There's
it's
Weezer D&D. Songs. And there's that
Stephen
one.
Stephen Lynch.
Yeah. And that, you know, that are about or reference Dungeons & Dragons. There are also plenty of celebrities who have played or do still play Dungeons & Dragons.
I don't believe you. Name a bunch.
I will. There's Stephen Colbert, Rivers Cuomo, Vin Diesel, Jon Favreau, James Franco, Matt Groening, Moby, Mike Myers, Patton Oswalt, Will Wheaton, Rainn Wilson, and Robin Williams.
That just number would, that number will suffice me.
Good.
I wish you had given me time. I was counting. I was going to say, name 12.
Well, there's no.
Zelda Williams.
What shouldn't we forget?
Is attractive. And name Zelda because Robin Williams is a nerd and likes Zelda.
There you go.
There's some more of the influence from mine.
It's just further proof. And, you know, don't forget that every role-playing system that has come since 74 has been inspired one way or another by Dungeons & Dragons. Ryan and I were talking the other night, and he was mentioning how the White Wolf system was sort of a reaction against Dungeons & Dragons for players who wanted a more immersive storytelling system.
Mm-hmm.
But without Dungeons & Dragons, there wouldn't have been any, you know, a system to be a reactionary against.
Let's do something against Dungeons & Dragons! What's that? I don't know!
Exactly. Because Dungeons & Dragons, as a roleplay style, is very stats-heavy. It's about the stats, it's about the numbers, and it's about killing things and getting loot.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, without D&D, there wouldn't have been a need to create any different kind of system. And it's pretty much also, like I said, become synonymous. You know, when people think nerds, they'll think people who like Star Wars or Star Trek or people who sit around playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Like us?
Yeah, but we don't play Dungeons & Dragons.
We can.
Well, we played that one game with Eric's game.
Yeah, we were pretty awesome.
We had some good characters.
I killed the shit out of that dragon.
We played that game 1.5 times. It was the first time we played it, I remember we asked Eric a question about what kind of fence was around the kobold pit.
Yes.
And he couldn't answer and gave up.
Yeah.
I'm good like that.
And then the second time we played, he made up an answer.
Yeah. Yep.
And we progressed beyond that point.
Yep, and then I jumped on top of the fence, and one of them threw a spear at me, and I caught it.
That was awesome.
Pretty talented.
I was just being a dwarf.
Yep, but you were being a good dwarf.
Oh. I remember we lit a tapestry on fire and killed a dragon wormling.
Yep.
Yeah, we're good.
This is a castle, isn't it? It must have tapestries.
Yeah. And that was... It's it. We're over. Yeah.
We're done with Geek Century.
We missed all our stuff, I mean, but...
No, we didn't.
No, that was everything.
Oh, yep.
That was everything that happened over the last 100 years.
What about, like, you know...
There were only 17 or 18 things that happened.
Yeah,
yep, no. That was all...
Okay,
name one thing that you think happened that we didn't talk about.
What about Studio Ghibli?
Nope.
Never.
Anime, didn't happen. We discussed
no,
that.
Didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Nope.
Okay, well, I'm just gonna go into this chamber and cry.
Yeah, go to the crying chamber.
The crying chamber.
Okay. It's okay. It's soundproof, so we won't actually hear you sob it.
Okay.
It's not soundproof. We'll hear everything.
I know. I've got the camera set up already.
Look at my hair.
Oh, look at him. What a douche.
He doesn't know there's a camera in there so we can watch it, too.
Anyway, while Meyer's in there sobbing, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Yep.
Look at the snack coming out of this. Predominance with nightly vigils. Hollering hard on that webacles. Through the basement's acid truth. Dying cycles, academic whirlpools.
place. It's the construct holy rice. Holy rice.
Yes, we are.
And we are introducing a new segment.
A new segment?
Oh, okay. We like to call 10 and 10, where we discuss 10 topics and 10 words or less.
And who's the person that came up with that name?
10!
Me!
Meyer, super creative.
I made it up.
Well, Meyer was thinking long and hard. Wait. We're talking about 10 things, yeah. And we have 10 words. We'll call it 20s. Yeah,
I just made the title up. Ryan made up a segment. I just came with the title.
I was there.
Me too. I typed it on the computer.
The rest of you fucks just wanted to do another Will interview. Meyer and I, we stood up to you and we said no.
I say to you, sir, no.
So, I guess the first topic of discussion.
All right, let's get into
ready?
This. Ready? Wait. We need music.
Mass Effect 3 demo.
No comment. I didn't finish the first Mass Effect game.
Boo.
Well, I just want the full version of the game now.
My Shepard is gearing up for war. Fuck the Reapers.
Not a big Mass Effect fan, but aliens are always cool.
Boo.
Watching prequels.
More bastard children for writer Alan Moore to publicly disavow.
For some reason, I'm actually excited for these. Go figure.
I already know the backstory of these characters.
As long as we see less blue penis, I'm happy.
I thought you'd want more blue penis.
Don't, because you call me gay. All right, let's go.
No.
The River!
Sounds like a pretty interesting show. I'll check it out.
One of the best new shows. Tense, eerie, and captivating.
Good, but I don't see it as a long-running series.
Looks like it could be worth checking out. Screw Flanders!
Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance!
I can't take Nicolas Cage seriously as a Marvel superhero.
The first movie was okay. I'm expecting about the same.
I can't take Nicolas Cage seriously. Who wanted this movie?
I guess this is one way to waste some money.
Prometheus!
Ridley Scott, I love you. May I have your babies?
Want now. That was too many wants, I apologize.
I just don't want to see a Ripley duplicate.
Ridley Scott makes Alien movie. Breaking news, water is wet!
The Hobbit!
I wonder how many fake endings this one will have.
A Company of Dwarves, Young Bilbo, and Gandalf. I'm excited.
There and back again. It's about time.
Definitely excited for this one. Also using the three words Alex didn't use.
D&D 5.0!
They should call the publishers Wizards of Taking Your Money.
Speed!
The fourth edition came out 4 years ago. So again? Really?
Roll a 20 or the wizard will steal your purse.
Let's simplify it more. Say your action. Now it works!
Alcatraz!
Another show that I don't have time to watch. Shit.
Once again, I'm asking, what's going on with this island?
Another show about an island, Hurley? I prefer Lost.
Hurley, you were the inescapable prison all along. Screw Flanders!
Iron Sky!
I was in when I heard Nazis from the Moon.
The next Snakes on a Plane? I think so.
Looks good, but I'll wait until it goes on Netflix.
It's about space Nazis. How could this not be awesome?
Star Wars Episode 1 in 3D.
Again, George Lucas proves that he will whore Star Wars.
George Lucas is a troll. Fuck him and this movie.
Misa Tink Lucas so greedy!
If only one 3D movie for me, picking the Lorax.
We're done!
We finished our 20s.
Yes.
No,
10s and 10.
10 and 10.
10 and 10, right. Sure we don't want to call it 20s?
Yeah.
Or hundreds?
That was like some kind of weird, fucked up nerd haiku.
Nerd coup.
Screw Flanders.
I thought that went pretty well.
Good.
Yeah, I like that.
Anyway, if you have opinions on any of the topics we discussed very briefly,
in 10 words.
Yes, feel free to make comments, but we will cut them if they are longer than 10 words.
We have that power.
We might cut them in awkward places, too.
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys talking about? I love...
What does he love? I'll never know!
He should have put it in 10 words or less.
It'll be like horse ebooks on Ragnar Rock.
Ragnar Rocks.
Rocket Piano?
Thanks.
The Ultimate Piano.
Rocket Piano is the Ultimate Piano.
All right, and we'll be back after this.
With an entertaining little thing.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it, because it will be... Damn it!
What, are you playing Azura's Wrath, Eric? With its climactic storytelling?
Cliffhanger!
Cliffhanger storytelling.
Cliffhanger, action...
Oh no, Ryan went first.
Quick time events.
Alright, we'll be right back after this. Meyer has to punch Ryan's finger while he pokes the earth from orbit.
These platform views are liberally blue. Clinging to concept and trivia through. Something divine. And inhuman too. Narrative sideline borders to cross. Narrative sideline borders to cross.
Man, this neighborhood is just going to shit.
What do you mean? It's pretty nice.
There are hipsters everywhere. Look at those people. Go back to Williamsburg, you fuck.
You mean you've never heard of hipster traps?
Hipster traps? What are hipster traps?
Watch this. Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's up?
You hear about that obscure avant-garde rock band that's playing at the bar down the block?
Yeah, man, I heard of them years ago when they were still on the underground. Man, come on.
Yeah, you should go check them out.
They did really sell out majorly, but I guess I need somewhere to go and wear a beret and say derisive comments between puffs of my cigarette, so sure.
Wow. That took him right out.
Yep. Hipster traps are guaranteed effective. Watch this. Hey, friend. Did you hear about the new avant-garde art exhibit that's being displayed at the dirty, burned-out, unsafe factory downtown?
Which dirty burned-out factory? I've been to many exhibits in dirty burned-out factories. You have to be very specific about
it. Oh, this is the brand new one that's never been seen before. They say the artist is a blind monk from Tibet who paints with his own feces.
I guess I'll see how much of a sellout he is.
Jeez, they should really put these all over Brooklyn.
Oh, they have been. It's part of Bloomberg's newest initiative. Here, watch this one. Hey there, friend. Have you heard about the...
No, don't tell me. If you tell me, I'll have heard about it.
Across the street.
Right on.
Hipster traps. Available at a hardware store near you.
And, this brings us to the end of the, episode, ladies and gentlemen.
So sad.
Alex, if you need to go into the crying chamber,
I'll be okay.
The anti-zone was beautiful.
I thought it was the opposite of beautiful.
I would return here plenty more times.
I liked anti-Eric. He was clean-shaven.
I am like him. Well, I walked near him and we exploded.
Yeah, that was weird.
Also, he was a billionaire.
Anti-Meyer was really nice, though.
Mm-hmm. And he could actually grow facial hair.
Yeah.
Auntie Eric hated ponies. I didn't like him at all.
I was one of my favorite things about this whole trip.
But, I'll just remind everybody that, this has been, that we're starting a new format.
This was our last episode.
Last episode of the old format. We're going to a new format.
Well, it's not really a new format. It's a new schedule.
It's
not really our last episode. It's just the last episode on the schedule. Well,
But Auntie Meyer told me. Never mind.
Yeah, but you see, you should say the opposite of what he said. He's anti you.
Right.
So if you want to make sense, he tells you something and you say the opposite.
I don't believe you, but okay.
All right.
So the next show will be in 4 weeks. Yep. But between then, we'll be releasing part two of Bad Blood for your listening entertaining.
Ryan's original Call of Cthulhu scenario.
For those of you who enjoyed Meyer as Jose Dynamo.
Jose Dynamo.
And Alex as, what was your name, Jeffrey Alexander, the host of Science of the Paranormal.
Now, I don't want to spoil anything for you, but this one does have a little bit less witty banter between Meyer and myself, but significantly more shit hitting the fan.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And lots of temporary insanities.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We were temporarying the shit out of our insanities.
Shit got bad quick.
Yeah.
But
so definitely check that out.
Check it out. And as always, you could like us on Facebook.
Yep.
Or you can phone call us, have a voicemail that Ryan knows a number, but I don't.
I remember it this time, I think.
All right, Eric, what is
it? Give it a try.
I don't remember the numbers for the letters, but it's 516-362-NERD.
Mm-hmm.
That's best member.
516-362-6373. Twizzle, you haven't called us yet.
Twizzle, you son of a bitch. I'm coming for you.
He'll call.
If you don't call us by the next episode, now you have one goddamn month. If you don't call us by the next episode, I'm going to find your favorite fucking pony, get a unicorn horn, shove it up its ass, eviscerate it, and then make haggis out of it, and force another pony to eat it.
I don't like this conversation.
That just took a really dark turn.
You shut your mouth, pony lover.
No,
Twizzle brought it upon himself, or herself,
I don't know.
Or herself. With a name like Twizzle, that's very... Who knows what Twizzle is? Twizzle could be a Twizzler, and I don't know what gender a Twizzler is.
If it turns out that Twizzle is a Twizzler, I'd feel really bad about being so mean to him or her.
Yeah, I mean Twizzle would be delicious.
Now I'm just picturing a single Twizzler sitting on a computer chair in front of a computer. And I feel really bad because it's kind of adorable.
And it's friends with Eric.
You should bring Twizzle up. If Twizzle's a Twizzler, you should bring him or her over and we'll hang out with him or her.
But if Twizzle is not a Twizzler, then just make sure that Twizzle leaves us a tweet or a voicemail.
Oh, yeah, it's a tweet. A tweet. There's
at Ragnar Rock.
There's a. The thing.
The thing.
iTunes.
Yes. You can download our podcast on iTunes.
Also known as The Thing.
The thing.
You can also send us an email. info@ractedrock.com.
No one has done that.
Yep.
Not a single person. Yeah. Actually, no, Elise did.
Oh, we should read hers on air. I don't even remember what it was. That was a long time ago.
It was some silly suggestion.
Yeah.
We haven't really gotten enough emails.
Yeah.
Twizzle. To warrant a whole...
Twizzle, you could send us an email and stop this abuse.
Yes.
You could save your favorite pony, Twizzle. I thought you liked ponies. Don't you want it to live?
I hate you.
Don't say those things to Twizzle. That's mean.
And with that...
Twizzle's a fan.
With that Twizzle berating, I think that's it for today.
Yeah.
We're done. Ed's a moron, and
it's been officially confirmed.
Ed is a moron.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, this news just in.
So if you guys want to comment on that, we will have a counselor available for those of you that feel you need it.
If you want to send any donations in for his recovery
and his treatments, unfortunately, it's not curable, but hopefully with some injections of common sense, we might be able to mitigate some of the effects.
Yeah.
I thought we were just going to hire a belligerent Englishman with a Cockney accent to kick Ed in the head.
That's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
So with that...
He was going to inject the common sense with a boot up his ass.
Ah.
It's a very somber goodbye, everybody.
He's Meyer.
I'm Meyer.
I'm Eric.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Alex.
And this has been episode 19.
And we need to get a catchphrase to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
We used to have one. It was the Ragnarok is nigh. The Nerdpocalypse is nigh.
And then we just stopped.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
Alright, so what? And I'm Alex. And remember, the Nerdpocalypse is nigh.
I was so saying. And remember, the Nerdpocalypse is nigh.
The Nerdpocalypse is fly.
The Nerdpocalypse.
All right, stop hitting the buttons.